Good morning. I want to bid you a hearty welcome here this morning, and it's certainly, again, a joy to be here. And if there are any guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. My name is Jeff Hildebrand. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank you, God, always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that your charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Well, this morning we want to look into God's Word, and the topic of the message this morning is that I've chosen is godly knowledge and wisdom, and what we can take away from that. We know that we live in an ever-changing world. Things are constantly changing. We see that in probably every single industry in the world. We see that in our homes. You know, Mr. Penner and I were just talking about the computer system here in the church. You go back 20 years ago, and there was nothing like that. So we see there's all these changes are happening. And some of them are very positive and some are not very positive. But the one thing we know is that God does not change. And in that, we need to understand who God is. So our relationship with the Lord is very important to each and every one of us. So I want to encourage you this morning to open your hearts to the Word of God, that we can reflect on what God does for us, and how important it is for us to know our ever-present God. But before we get started, let us unite with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, we want to thank you that you have blessed us with the Holy Bible. We want to thank you, Lord, that you give us direction, that you give us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge through your word. And we thank you so much that what it does for us and how it draws us closer to you and to get to understand you better. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you what he accomplished on the cross. We thank you what he accomplished through death, and that he overcame death and was victorious and was risen from the dead and now sits at the right hand of you. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you for each one that has come this morning. You have blessed us with a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day, and we thank you for it. So, Lord, as we meditate on your word, as we do that in songs, we want to worship you, because you, Lord, deserve all the honor and glory that we can generate from our very souls. So we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Father, we also ask that you place a hedge of protection around this sanctuary, around every person that is here this morning, that we could remain focused on you, that Satan and his forces would be rebuked this morning, and they would have no part here. But again, Lord, that you and you alone would be honored and glorified. We ask all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, we'll have some songs, please.
In the blue hymnal, number 51, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Number 51, and I invite you to stand.
Savior,
Number 52, I am coming, Lord. Number 52.
On C or D? C.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Oh, coming weak and wild, thou dost my love that's holy cleanse, still spotless, all and pure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. This Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
500, when the roll is called up yonder, number 500.
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder,
thank you so much for that singing and playing. As I mentioned, we want to look at Scripture and talk about godly wisdom and godly knowledge. So if you have your Bibles along this morning, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. We want to go to the first chapter. It's kind of a starting point for us if we want to understand the Scriptures in a certain way. So it starts in verse 19 to 21. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, reads as follows. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we have to understand that God wrote the Bible. Yes, he used man to do the actual physical writing, but they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to write what they were told. And so this is kind of a point where we have to step into the Scripture with faith. And we have to understand that if we want to follow Scripture, we know where it came from. It wasn't by men. It was by God. So understanding that, we need to move forward. We need to grow as individuals and as a church. If we go back a few verses into verse 3 to verse 8 of the same chapter, it says this, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." What's the key word here? It's knowledge of him, of God. That's what we need to understand, and that's who we need to get to know. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence," and I want to pause there, "giving all diligence." That means putting our best foot forward. That means we give it our all. "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity," or love. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So look at the attributes that we as believers need to have. And maybe some of us aren't completed that list yet. Maybe we haven't quite completed it. And so there's work for us to do. And that could be me, it could be you. But what it promises us is that we will not be unfruitful. I really believe what this passage of scripture is teaching us is that whatever we learn, we can share. Don't be afraid to share what you know of Christ. If we have read our Bibles, and I hope we all have, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure some of us have gone through the Bible completely, and maybe more than once. But do we still understand the whole Bible? No. So we don't give up on the word, right? We keep on searching. And so this is very important for us. This is very important that we continue to do this so we can continue to gain in knowledge and wisdom. You know, they say as you get older, you get wiser. And for some of us, maybe that's true. And for some people, maybe it's not quite as true, but I would say this, that all of us gain wisdom and knowledge to a degree in something. We learn something from our mistakes, do we not? So we grow. Sometimes through that, when we make a bad decision or we make a mistake, there are still consequences for those mistakes or those actions, are there not? Of course there are. So we generally learn. How many of you as parents ever told your child something like this? "Don't touch that because it's hot." And what did your child do? They touched it. And it was hot. And what happened then? Probably they cried or they screamed or they whatever. Next time you told them, "Don't touch that, it's hot," what did they do? Some of them didn't remember, did they? And they touched it again, but some remembered. Really, that's not much different than our Christian walk, is it? I want you to consider this. If you close your Bibles when you get home for the week, you don't even look at it. Are you like that second child? You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you're not reading the word. You're not gaining wisdom and knowledge through the entire week. You show up at church and you listen to the message and you've hopefully gained some knowledge. But you could have gained so much more if you were to spend some time in the word. Yesterday we had a ministerial meeting. We actually had it here, and somebody mentioned how many hours they could spend on preparing a message. And I'm not sure of the exact number, but I thought I heard around 30 hours. You think somebody's spending some time in the Word? Yeah. And so we see this happening, and we see the result of it. We see that they are fruitful. If we do not spend time in it, we become unfruitful. I want to encourage you to be the fruitful people, because there is a world of hurt out there. There is a world of pain. They don't know where to look. So what do they turn to? They turn to what the world has to offer. Drugs, alcohol, abuse, many other things. So they turn to these things. And where does that lead us? Where does that lead them? So I want to encourage you to be the stewards of God's word that we need to be. How important is it for us to grow? If we look at in 1 Peter, so let's go back a little bit into 1 Peter now, into chapter 2. It tells us this in verse 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may do what? Grow. That you may grow thereby. So we're supposed to, we have to have a desire for the word. And if we're going to have that desire, we're going to grow. What are we going to grow in? Knowledge and wisdom. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we understand how gracious God is. And I would venture to say that most of us have gone through experiences in life where we've seen how good God has been. How many times have we experienced something in our life where we know that God has had his hand in? And I'm not sure if I shared the story of a young man in our church in Summerfeld who had an accident this last spring. He drove head-on into a highway tractor at 60 miles an hour. Well, what do you think the result of such an accident would be? Let's just remember there's two forces here. So if you have two forces going 60 miles an hour, that's 120 miles an hour of force. With a loaded highway tractor into a pickup truck. This young man walked out of the truck. He spent some time in the hospital. We went to his home to be with his family a few days later, and he showed us what had happened. He walked around almost like nothing had happened. It was a miracle. And constantly at the scene, the doctors, the people that were involved in this accident, constantly said, God had his hand over this young man. Does it always turn out that way? No, we know that. It doesn't always turn out that way. We know that if we want to get to heaven, we have to leave this physical body. So death happens, and we need to understand that this happens. So where are we with God? Are you in good standing with him? I was reading an article this morning. And there's a 47-year-old man. They don't know why. They don't know what happened. He just fell over and he was gone. It happens. Was this a godly man? I have no idea. But where are you and I? Do we understand the significance of our Almighty God and the power he has? I mean, he rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Do we understand that? And if we understand it and we accept it, we also need to know the truth. We have to continue in God's word. How many of you are maybe a little bit like me, and sometimes we try to go off memory, off of something? I've worked in the same industry for almost 38 years. I've basically done the same job for almost 38 years. And some of you can, I'm sure you can relate to this. Some of it becomes second nature, doesn't it? But sometimes you look at something and you go, I don't remember. I just forget. So I have to go back and I have to dig up a little research, and then I can recall what we've done in the past. The Bible is really no different. If we're going to try to just live off of memory, we're going to get some things wrong. And I remember talking with somebody not long ago. Well, the Bible doesn't say this. Well, actually, yeah, it does. And you could point it out to them. Well, I didn't know it said that. When's the last time you opened your Bible? And it would be, some of them, it's years. We cannot do that. We need to feed ourselves. We need to grow. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, the first 6 verses teach us this. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Excuse me. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and having tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This is talking about how we need to grow and how we need to mature in our walk. Look what happens if we fall away, we drift off. We then become guilty of the cross again. So that's what it's saying here. It says in verse 6, it says, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So we got to be very careful on the stewardship of God's word. Let's make sure we are studying the word. And I don't think we always need to have an exact answer to some of the questions that people might have, but we certainly need to know where to go to find them. And sometimes, maybe you have found it in Scripture, and you need to pass that on to somebody. Or maybe I have found something in Scripture, or I haven't found something. And so maybe I haven't found something in Scripture and I don't know the answer, and maybe I would call one of my colleagues here and ask them, have you ever heard of this? And well, yes, it's actually in this book of the Bible, and it talks about this. That's the part of working together to gain godly knowledge and wisdom. The truth of the matter is, we get caught up in the busyness of life, don't we? How many of you have a job that you go to, that you go to work? How many hours of the day are you expected to be at that job? Most people are expected to be at the job for a minimum of 8 hours. Some jobs require 10 hours, and you work 4 days a week. The industry that I'm in, when it's busy, we work many hours. And so you're not the only ones affected by this. So are we, as ministerial. So we can get caught up in the busyness of life. We have to be very careful that we have to put some time away and say, this is our time with God. So, and we need to do our very best to continue in that time slot and make sure that it becomes a standard. Because once we start, I don't know how it works for you, but I'll give you a little illustration. What happens January 1st? How many people will say, this year, I'm going to do better at this? I can't remember what they call this, but whatever. You all know what I mean. So they say, okay, I'm going to do better at this. And it lasts for 2 or 3 weeks. Right? Ever happened to you? You know what? It's not different in our lifestyle with the Lord. If we are not going to be committed, we're going to lack knowledge. We're going to lack wisdom because we're not in the Word. I wonder what it would be like or what it was like when Jesus was crucified, went to heaven, and the apostles gathered around. I wonder what they talked about and, you know, where are we going to go from here and how are we going to get there? What do we need to accomplish? And sometimes I feel that is where we're lacking. We have forgotten what we need to accomplish because we're not focusing enough time in the Word of the Lord. Go on a few verses, same chapter, chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. This is, again, an encouragement for us to grow and become more mature. Goes on to say, and we desire that every one of you shew the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. I want to read that to you again. And we desire that every one of you, who's being taught here? Every one of us. It's talking to believers, all right? This is a mandate to believers. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. We have to be united in the message that the world receives from us. And sometimes I think we are so far apart. We are so far apart. And yet we read the same Bible. And things come in that don't make sense because we throw our opinions and we throw our desires into this whole mix and we get off track. We need to follow the Scripture and hold on to truth. It is so important for us because we are supposed to be the light and the people that bring forth the message of God, not just us as pastors, as ministerial. This is a passage of Scripture that talks to every one of us. That though this is the kind of people we need to ultimately be. So in Colossians chapter 2, I hope this is an encouragement to us. So we want to look at just a couple of verses here. Verses 1 to 3. For I would have ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. So how important is the word to you and I? How important is it to you in your daily walk? I hope it's very important to you. And it should be. We go back to chapter 1 here in the same book, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. It says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Not our goals, not our passions or desires, but his will. That's where we need to focus on. And again, sometimes I think we forget that. Why is that? That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So how important is our knowledge of God? So I hope you draw closer to him, and I hope I draw closer to him. I hope we spend a little more time loving God than loving things of this world. As I mentioned earlier, being caught up in all these things that the world has to offer, It's such a challenge, is it not? The psalmist writes, and these are in Psalm 1, the psalmist shares, I think, a very significant message for us. Talks about the two ways of life. I want to end this service this morning with reading Psalm 1. But before I do that, I need to ask you this question. Who are you in Christ? Here it says this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Are you this person? Is that what you're doing with your life? Or are you this person? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are you those people? Am I that person? My hope and prayer is that we are the person that the first three verses describe. But we can only become that person if we spend time with God. So I want to encourage you this morning, take some time every day. Read scripture, pray for one another, encourage one another. And let's lift up the church, and let's move forward united and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, we thank you so much for this time that you have blessed us with. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the direction it gives us. And yet at times we lack wisdom, we lack knowledge. And Lord, we know that we can go to you. So Father, we just ask that you would bless us with wisdom and understanding, that we would share this with everyone that we come into contact with. And I know, Lord, some days it's so hard, it seems, that especially when we're dealing with people that don't believe. But Lord, you have promised us that you would give us strength. So we stand before you and we ask for this strength and we ask for the courage. And we pray for all those that are lost, that you might heal their hearts and they might come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray a blessing upon each one that has come this morning and ask that you open their hearts and minds to your word and that we as a people will be blessed and you alone would be honored and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to give you an opportunity for some time in prayer. And after that, I think you had an announcement, correct? So then as soon as we've knelt for prayer, then I'll ask Jake to come up and make that announcement. So for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus? May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Good morning. I know it's in the bulletin, but I'm going to read it as it is given to me. On March 15th, I, Peter Ball, was elected as a deacon in the Altona Summerfield Church. After much prayer and studying, Susan and I have a longing to fulfill this calling. We have a desire to build the Church of God and ask for the congregation's support to accept this position on September 25th, 2022 at 3 p.m. in the Altona Summerfield Church, Lord willing. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." We could not do this without God's help, but feel that we want to fulfill his calling. We would like to start this journey off with a clean slate. So if you have a desire to talk to us in any regards, please call. The phone number is there. If you cannot attend in person, we ask that you keep us in your prayers. So we're all invited for this ordination this afternoon. But if you cannot attend, then just pray for them. And another thing is I received a text this week from one of our members, and I'm just going to read what I've copied off of that text for a prayer request as well. It's for Henry and Lisa Peters, are asking for prayer support. Lisa had a bad fall about 4.5 months ago. She has been unable to work since then. She is on complete bed rest. On top of everything else, she now has blood clots in her leg. She has had one surgery and still needs to have another one, so please pray for her for healing. So that's Henry and Lisa Peters. Lisa is the sister to Reverend Peter Rample's wife. So they need our prayers. And then the other thing is you're all invited for a potluck lunch after the German service. So you're all invited to stay and you can have a free lunch today. So thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you for those announcements. Well, I want to encourage you to stick around for that lunch. Having that fellowship is a wonderful way to get to know each other a little bit better. So I would encourage you, if that's possible, that you would make that work. And again, I want to thank each one of you for coming this morning. It's certainly been a joy to be here. And I want to bless you with the words that we find in Numbers chapter 6. So let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May go with the peace of the Lord.